15. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So we take a little break out of the book of Romans, but it all ties in together beautifully. As I said last week, God is sovereign and God puts things together for us, for our growth and for our understanding. Even on Resurrection Sunday, when we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. But we've been talking about justification. Remember that big old word that we used a while back? Because of what Christ did on the cross, we are justified by faith and faith alone in Him for salvation. Well, Paul writing to the Corinthian church ties something beautifully in for us, even with the resurrection. We see that our salvation, our justification is, yes, by the death of Jesus on the cross, but His triumphant resurrection in the end. If you have your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 15, and we will also take a glimpse at Romans chapter 4, verse 25. So last week, we reviewed the work of Christ on the cross. It was on the cross that Jesus, where he was our substitute, He was our substitute sacrifice to pay the debt for our sin. The sin that you and I have, Jesus Christ paid in full. When I say paid in full, I mean paid in full. All of it. Jesus said, "It is finished." When He said that from the cross, it meant, God, whatever You, God Father, whatever You had laid down as Your obligation for sin to be paid for, it's done. I've completed it. God had a perfect law. We weren't able to keep it. We were not declared righteous. Matter of fact, we broke God's law. We were in a legal jeopardy with God because of our sin. And since we transgressed God's law, we had that legal problem that we couldn't even fix. We owe Him a debt that we could not pay. Our sin left us in legal jeopardy. Yet before creation, listen, I don't understand how big our God is. Before creation, God had a premeditated plan established to redeem sinful men back to Himself before anything was created. Well, how did God do that? He's God. Crucifixion was not a contingency plan. In other words, God wasn't trying to figure it out as we went along. He didn't create Adam and Eve. Oh, they blew it. Let me figure something else out. How am I going to fix this for them? No, He knew it already. Before anything was created, He had the cross in mind. He had the resurrection in mind. God is sovereign. He has a providential plan since before time. God knew sin would occur and established a solution eternally. Listen to this over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 20. Peter writes this, says, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your futile conduct inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but appeared in these last times for the sake of you. God had a plan all along. He knew Jesus before all of this was created. He already knew His plan. It was on the cross where Jesus paid our ransom to redeem us back to the Father. He laid down His sinless self, His innocent blood, for me. Put your name there. Can you just praise God this morning that He laid down His innocent life, His precious blood, that met God's qualification to win you back into a relationship, redeem you, buy you back into a relationship with the Father? see Christ's sacrificial death on the cross as the ultimate payment to remove sin, satisfied God's divine justice. Brother Kevin, that sounds like a repeat. Yeah, but you can't say it enough. Repetition is the mother of learning. So that we can be at atonement with God. And yet God gives us a more full view of our justification with him through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Well, this is beautiful. Now, I hope you have your hats on because this is good stuff. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, he who was delivered over to the account of our transgressions, although he went to the cross, and he was raised on the account of our justification. See, we understand better that Jesus made the substitutionary atonement for our sins. He was our substitute and imputed righteousness to us. In other words, he died on the cross to give us righteousness with the Father for all who would believe. Christ paid for our sins with his death, his shedding of the blood, to satisfy the requirements to be made right with God. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. The wages of sin is death, or the payment of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Someone had to pay the debt, and it was Jesus. Why? Because it required a blood sacrifice. Leviticus 17:11-12. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. It is the blood by reason of the life that makes atonement. So Jesus finished the work on the cross, paid the penalty in full for our sin. But what if? What if? What if the account of Jesus' redemptive work ended at the cross? What if Jesus died and was just buried? What then? What then, when we read Romans, it says he was delivered over the account of our transgressions and was raised on the account of our justification. If Jesus did not rise from the dead, there's a problem in our theology. There's a problem with your faith. There's a problem with my faith. There's a problem because we're still in our sin. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 12 through 23. If you'll join me there, verses 12. Since now if Christ be preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also in vain. Moreover, we are even found to be false witnesses of God because we bore witness against God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is worthless. And you're still in your sins. And those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If we have hoped in Christ in this life only, we're of all men most pitied. But now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and after that, those who are in Christ at his coming. Let's pray together. Father God, Christianity, we often take the resurrection and just put it into one day of celebration. But the resurrection isn't every day, every moment, every minute, every second. Celebration. God, we think so shallow about you rising from the tomb. Father, give us joy this morning by the power of your Holy Spirit. Remind us of who we are and what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So there are five implications I want to share with you this morning. Implications for the church and really the lost world of Jesus if he had not risen from the dead. So if Jesus had not risen from the dead, the first one is this: we have no promise or hope of rising from the dead with a new body. I'm stuck with this, and it's just going to rot away, and I'm going to rot in a place called hell in my sin. Verse 12 and 13 said, if Christ is preached, that he's been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there's no resurrection of the dead? So Paul is addressing a problem in the Corinthian, get this, church. That they were struggling, and it was Gentile, but it was probably some Jews who had converted over to Christianity. They were having an issue with something being dead coming back to life. After all, Jesus had died. Did you ever think about this? Jesus died on the cross. They took him down before sunset because that was a custom, a Jewish custom. They had his body preserved and put in a tomb, and the Roman government pulled a rock, which is customary, but sealed it so nothing could get out and nothing could go in. And just for our satisfaction that Jesus was completely dead, he left him there 3 days. And then Jesus rose from the dead. He was dead, dead, dead. Did I say he was dead? Jesus was dead. He says, how can some among you say that there's no resurrection? But if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. So Jesus had to resurrect from the dead in order for the destiny of the Christian to be resurrected on the day of his appearing. There's coming a day when Christ comes back. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that when he comes back, the dead in Christ will rise first. That is a promise that we have been given through God's word, that when he comes back, we will resurrect and we have a new body like his, not this. Praise God. 58 years, I've worn it out pretty much. See, Jesus' resurrection acts as the legal, catch this, the legal declaration for believers that justification is achieved. It's like Jesus died on the cross. He paid for our sins with his blood. He took all of God's wrath on him. They put him in a grave. But if that was been it, we would have never been justified, because the resurrection is the receipt. That the resurrection is the legal declaration that we have been justified by God. Jesus rising from the dead proved God's justice is satisfied. And it guarantees that we as believers have final acquittal through Christ Jesus. Judge, you like all that legal terminology I'm using there? It's our final acquittal through Christ. We can see a double aspect of the work of Jesus, the cross and the resurrection, resulting in our justification. Oh, listen, we don't back up from these big words. We dive right into them. We want to learn what they mean, because why? It brings joy to our hearts of what God has done for us. As long as we want to be ignorant of what God has done, we never find the joy of how much He loves us. So there's this double aspect of Jesus' work, the cross and the resurrection. His death is for the remission of our sin, while the resurrection is the securing of our righteousness. If you didn't get that, I'll say it again, but I got to read it because it's so good. Christ's death is for the remission of our sins, while His resurrection is for the securing of our righteousness. Jesus was delivered to the cross as a substitute to pay for your sins and my sins. He didn't die for His own sins. He didn't have any. And 3 days later, Jesus' bodily resurrection is the official judicial declaration that His payment for our sin was sufficient. It's Jesus' accomplished work. Jesus' accomplished work. Not what Jesus did and Kevin can do. Believe me, I fall flat on my face daily. Thought you were in that by yourself, huh? No. Man, it's Jesus' accomplished work in His death and His resurrection that we are justified through the gift of faith and repentance in Jesus Christ, God's only begotten Son, and His finished work for our salvation. Jesus paid it all. Remember that song? What a marvelous exchange we see in Romans 4:25. Where Christ takes our sin to the cross to die, He gives us righteous life at His resurrection. Second thing we see is what if Christ did not rise from the dead? Our preaching and our teaching is false and pointless. You gathered here this morning for zero reason. You got up at whatever time this morning to be here for an 8 o'clock service. For zilch, you missing a lot of sleep right now. See, verse 14 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith is also in vain." Then what I do, I might as well go back and do something else. I'm wasting my time. If not the Holy Spirit moving, if not the resurrection had not occurred. See, if Jesus had not resurrected from the dead, then it's really a waste of time. Every time a preacher gets up to preach, or a Christian teacher to explain a text, it means nothing. Oh, you know, you might get some inspiration, you know, like some motivational speaker. But the fact remaining that Jesus, that without the resurrection, He died unjustly and was just buried. He died a death that He did not deserve. And He was just buried if He had not resurrected. What would that mean? We'd just live out our lives, do what we want to do, die and be buried ourselves. There's no hope in that. There's no hope. Man, when you pass a cemetery, you would look at those graves out there, at that sea of granite and concrete, and you would say, "Most pitied are those people." And that's where I'm going. If there had not been a resurrection. But you see, with the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we understand that they're not most pitied, that there's hope, that when Christ returns, man, all those graves are going to break free, those who are in Christ, and they will have a new resurrected body. I'm glad they won't resurrect with the old one, especially if you're out there putting flowers on the grave. Grandma pops up like that. That'd be a sight. No, resurrected with a new body. We just live out our lives, die and be buried, if not for the resurrection. It would be like really dying like twice, or really three times. We would die physically, and then we would go to hell and be in torments for eternity. And when the last person who remembers you dies, then you're no more. Death would have won. See, in verse 15, Paul says that we are false witnesses. If Christ Jesus hasn't been raised from the dead, then pastors who are bearing false witness to thousands and thousands of people would have to face judgment for bearing false witness of a Jesus that did not rise. So even if a person found a sermon false but helpful, and what good is that? We preach the gospel of Jesus, his sinless life, his substitutionary death on the cross, his resurrection. Why do we preach that? Because it's true. I wouldn't have left my career of 10 years to come preach if it wasn't true. I wouldn't get up in front of people and declare Jesus is Lord if it wasn't true. I wouldn't get up and declare resurrection if it wasn't true. And you wouldn't put your faith in something that was not true. The third thing we see here is if there's no resurrection, it means our faith is worthless. That our faith is worthless. Verse 17 says, and if Christ not been raised, your faith is worthless. You are still in your sins. Your faith is worthless. It's worth nothing had Jesus not resurrected. Paul is helping this church see those who believe that there was no resurrection, that Jesus was a good man, he died for their sins, but he didn't resurrect from the dead. Then our faith has zero value. I'm going to meddle here for a minute. There's some of us who act like our faith has zero value. Think about it. How much value do you put on your faith? Do you base your life on the life of Jesus Christ? Or is it just a side thing that you do? How much is your faith worth? If we'd be honest, if we had a quarter in our pocket, some of us, our faith wouldn't be worth a quarter. Because we don't live out what we say that we believe. I'm not saying perfectly. I'm not saying that we won't mess up. I'm not saying we don't slip and slide sometimes. I'm saying, but we're still going in the right direction. Why? Because Christ is calling us. The Holy Spirit lives in us, and we're moving that direction. And Christ is the center of our life. He is number one. Even though we live out imperfectly. But sometimes we say that we have faith, and it's only in a name. Well, I'm a Christian, but it's only in a name. It's not in a life. Churches are filled with people who are Christian in name only, but not in life. There's a lot of that. Sadly, they don't embrace what they say they do. Their life has not been changed and transformed because of that. Listen, when you are a born-again believer and you sin, you know that you sin, and you immediately repent. What's your faith worth? You may not say it's worthless, and it's probably not. But are you where God really wants you to be? Are you in the place that you know that you are moving forward with God? You know that Christ living in you is changing and transforming you degree by degree by degree to be more like Him? Or would you say that I'm over here for a while, and I'm over here for a while, and I'm over here for a while, and then I kind of get faithful for a little while, and I'm over here and over here? Don't put much value in what you really believe then. Paul is saying here, if there's no resurrection, it means our faith is worthless. If Jesus Christ is not raised from the dead, that means He is an imposter rather than a redeemer sent by God. That He's a liar. He's not who He says that He is. He's fooled a lot of people if He has not resurrected. Our faith would have no saving value. There would be no justification or forgiveness of sin. Because see, that's number four. If Jesus did not resurrect from the dead, we're still in our sins. We may feel good about ourselves. Our conscience may be eased for a little while. But we're still in our sin had Jesus not resurrected. Without Jesus defeating death and rising back to life, you get that? Without Jesus defeating death, the wages of sin is death. Jesus had to defeat death to set us free. Had He just died like the rest of us, no payment would have been made. It's a two-part transaction. Cross, resurrection. He went to the cross and died for your sins. He paid it with His innocent, precious blood. He took all of God's wrath. He died. God left Him there 3 days, so everybody knew for sure He was dead, dead, dead. And under His own power, He came back to life when death was defeated. When death was defeated. Without Jesus defeating death, the penalty of our sin, the payment of our sin is death. We would never have the second part of that verse. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, Romans 6:23. You see, we'd only have the first part. We're all sinners, Romans 3:23. Here's the payment for it. Oh, well. No, Jesus took that. He resurrected. He defeated death for you and for me. So without Jesus defeating death and rising back to life, as believers, we would be beyond merely lacking hope. Believers would remain in a state of condemnation and under the dominion and bondage of the power of sin. Man, without Jesus resurrecting from the dead, we have to get that. We would still be in bondage to sin. We would still die in our sin. And we would have no mediator interceding with the Father in our behalf. Zero. Without the resurrection, the power of sin has not been broken. And the consequence of death due to personal sin has not been challenged and defeated. Sin has the payment of death. The sign that sin has been taken care of is that death dies. And it died with Jesus Christ. The resurrection is Jesus defeating death, and Christ has established a new life in the new covenant. Praise God for that. Man, we're not just celebrating Easter Sunday. We're not just celebrating the resurrection. We're celebrating life in Christ. Man, that when we lay our loved ones down and we have to say goodbye and they're gone and we don't know from this side for sure, other than on the hope and the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ of what he has done, that is the security that we have, that our loved one who's in Christ is with the Lord right now. If we base it on their life, please don't base anything on my life. Whoever preaches my funeral, and it'll probably be me, James will film it, and we'll script it out. I'll preach it, and you just show it. You're going to hear Jesus. You're not going to hear Kevin. That's all I know, because I'm just broken and undone. Just broken and undone, and I need a Savior. In all these 58 years, if the Lord leads me to 78, 88, I don't know if I want to go that long. It's Jesus. It's not me. Don't get up and say, oh, he did this, he did that. Oh, no. Every moment is by the grace of God. I learned a long time ago, don't go into a funeral preaching that person. You go into a funeral preaching Jesus. Years ago, I learned as a young pastor, I went in and, man, you know, you ask all the questions to this family, and there's a family not in this church. I didn't know who they were. The elderly lady had passed away, and, you know, they kind of tell you what to do. As a pastor, you go in, you ask questions of the family, you know, name, you know, one thing that if you could summarize your mom or your dad, whoever it was, passed away, by one word, what would it be? And I remember it so distinctly because it burns in my brain. I asked this precious family, it's like, what was one thing that you remember mom by? Oh, love. Love. Beautiful word, typical of what you believe, you know, about your loved one. So I'm over there like a young pastor with my little notebook, steno pad, and I'm writing these things down and like going in and the next day was a funeral. Go in to do that funeral at the location it was at. So I was, you know, you kind of taught, you sprinkle a few things about the individual into the message as you go along. And I started sprinkling in a few words about love and goodness and kindness. You don't know what you look like from this point of view. The people were looking at me like I was talking about somebody totally different than that person in the casket. Because I was giving compliments and they knew somebody else that was right there. I sweat a lot of times when I preach, not usually at funerals. I was nervous and sweating. Because I realized I had messed up. My focus had been on trying to comfort this family about saying good things about this lady, and they didn't know who I was talking about. Because the life of the lady that was in the casket did not match the adjectives I was using. I preach Jesus now. Hard lesson learned. Why? Because he's the only one worthy of our praise. He's the only one who is worthy of the compliments. You see, sin has a payment of death. The sign that sin has been taken care of is that death dies. And the resurrection of Jesus defeating death, man, established that new covenant that you and I enjoy today in Jesus Christ. The resurrection validates the cross. The resurrection is the proof that Jesus' sacrifice was sufficient and complete. Man, this made Jesus the first fruits of the resurrection for believers. The fifth thing, and I'm closing. If the resurrection of Jesus did not occur miraculously, all believers who have died are lost forever. You see, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 18 and 19 told us, then those also who have fallen asleep, died in Christ, have perished. If they have hoped in Christ in this life only, we're of all men most pitied. If we've hoped in Christ and he didn't resurrect, then we would all die and the world would pity us because we were fools to follow. In our eternity, we would be set still in our sin. If Christ did not resurrect from the dead, we have no hope. We're still in our sins, and we are to be most pitied of all creatures. Why? Because the payment of our sin is death. And Jesus, we believe as a Savior, that power over those had no power. That he had no power over death and sin and the grave. Had that not been a resurrection? Yet we find in 1 Corinthians 15, it binds together the success of the atonement and the cross of Jesus with the bodily rising of Jesus for the justification of our sins with God. Oh, if you go back in Corinthians chapter 15, let me read the first few verses there. It says, now made known to you, brothers, verse number 1, the gospel which I proclaimed as good news to you, which also you received, in which you stand, by which you are saved. If you hold fast the word which I proclaimed to you as good news, unless you believed for nothing, for I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, and that he raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, which is Peter, and then the 12, and he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, and they remain until now, although some have fallen asleep. And after that he appeared to James and to all the apostles. And last of all, to one untimely born, he appeared to me also, for I am least of the apostles. Paul is saying that, listen, there's proof. What is true about the resurrection of Jesus? Let's grab this and we're gone. Since there is a resurrection of the dead, then Jesus Christ is truly raised. Verse 4 and 5, for I have delivered you as a first importance, that Jesus died on the cross, he was buried, and he resurrected. It all goes together for our justification, for our justification, for our right standing before God. And how do we have proof? Verse 5 says, he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. And I want to put in there that the gospel also records that he appeared to a bunch of women who went early that morning to anoint his body with spices. And they met Jesus first. Ooh. Verse 6, Paul says, and after that he appeared to 500 brothers at one time. 500 people saw Jesus Christ, the risen, resurrected Christ. They saw him with their own eyes and they gave witness to it. 500 eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus. They saw him all at one time. And after that, he appeared to James. That's James the Lesser. That's his brother. You know that James, his brother, his half-brother, did not believe Jesus who he was all the time that he was here on earth. He did not believe. He was not a believer. He was not a follower of Jesus being the Christ till after he was gone. So scholars believe that the resurrected Jesus appeared to his half-brother personally. And then James became one of the leaders of the Jerusalem church. Whoo! Is it just me or am I getting excited? In verse 7 it says, after that appeared to James and all the apostles. That's all those others at that time who were walking with Christ. And then he appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. Man, it's sweet. Jesus has been raised. Then there's power in our faith in the proclamation of Christ. All those things that we said didn't happen if Jesus had not been raised, but he has been raised, so there's power in the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's power and life in your faith when you put it in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit lives in you. You're sealed to the day of redemption, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 tells us. Jesus is alive today. We're true witnesses about God because we testify truthfully about his son, Christ, being raised from the dead to life. Christ has been truly raised and your faith is filled with worth and power. And with Jesus' resurrection, your sins are forgiven forever. Hebrews 8:12 tells us this. It's a repeat of Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. It says, for I be merciful to their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more. Because Jesus is resurrected, there's full payment. We're fully justified before God. And God says, I will remember their iniquities no more. When the devil wants to beat us up because of something we've done and who we've been and where we've done and what we've said, how we've acted, when the devil wants to come beat us down like we're worthless, remind him of what Jesus done for us. For those who have fallen asleep in Christ, they're safe in his care. And we put our hope in Jesus Christ. Listen, because he is alive, because he resurrected, we have hope now and forevermore in Christ. And that's our reason that we celebrate today. I know we have family things out there, but listen, on a personal level, celebrate Jesus. And then you bring that celebration to your family. Death did not have ultimate victory over Jesus and ultimate defeat over God's sovereign plan. Jesus gave us victory on the cross and resurrecting from the dead. Isaiah 43, verse 25 says, I am he who blots out their transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sin. Oh, Christian, rejoice. When we repent, it's remembered no more. Through Jesus' death on the cross, his resurrection from the dead, Jesus has met all of God's qualifications to pay in full the penalty for us and for our sin. He no longer holds our sin against us. Death no longer has victory over us. Listen, we'll grow old and we'll die if the Lord leads us here that long. That may happen to us, but the grave is not the final stopping point. That's just an intermission for his return. I'll be here in the front. Pastor Isaiah will be here in the front. Pastor Isaac will be here in the front. Graham and Sarah will be here on the side with us. We're going to stand. We're going to be dismissed. If the Lord is dealing with you in some way, you just need to come to this altar and pray. You need to come to me and pray or one of my brothers or sister here and pray. Please do. They'll wait for you. The barbecue ain't burnt yet. Let's stand together. We'll be dismissed. Father God, we thank you for this time that we celebrate you. Lord, we thank you so much for the things that you've already done in our life, that we can claim resurrection through Jesus Christ. We can claim justification with you, that we stand in righteous before you because of what he and he alone has done in our behalf. And we just claim it by faith and repentance to be our own. Lord, thank you for just covering us with his righteousness, imputing that into our life. We don't deserve it. God, we humbly come before you, just praising you and exalting you for who you are, Lord Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. Be with us now as we go about our day with our families and friends. Lord, just I pray your blessings over us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.